In the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 113. In different parts of our country are large buildings called prisons. Sometimes a broad, deep ditch circles these buildings. At other times, a high wall with barbed wire on it has been built around them. Heavy iron doors are carefully locked at all times. In these buildings, hundreds, yes, sometimes thousands of inmates are confined in small dark rooms called cells. These inmates are people who have committed crimes, such as robbery, setting fire to property, murder, etc. It is sad that prisons are necessary. These people sit in their cells staring gloomily before them. The one is thinking about his wife and children who are crying because their father is in prison. The other is thinking about his parents who are weeping because their child has caused them so much grief. Another is thinking of the time when he still was free and was working in the garden around his home, or sitting comfortably in his home with his wife and playing with his children. And do you know what is the saddest thought of these people? All this misery is the result of their own guilt. By their wicked actions, they really have asked for this punishment. Many become angry and murmur because they are punished too severely. They are dissatisfied because they imagine they do not deserve this punishment. Probably, among all those hundreds of prisoners in our country, there are a few who bend their knees, confessing their guilt before God and asking for forgiveness. Probably there are a few who are sorry because of their transgression and with tears lament their sins. Those people do not murmur, no, and they know they deserve this punishment. But there are not many of those people. The Jews from Judah and Jerusalem were carried away captive to the faraway country of Babylon. All this did not happen at one time. No, there were three different captivities. You already know of them, do you not? The first captivity was during the reign of Jehoiakim, when Nebuchadnezzar took with him to Babylon the most distinguished people of the Jewish nation. The second captivity was a few years later, at the time of Jehoiakim. Then 10,000 captives were taken to Babylon. Who were these prisoners? They were the princes, the most robust and brave soldiers, the carpenters, and the smiths. It was the aim of Nebuchadnezzar to deprive the Jews who still remained in Jerusalem of their tradesmen. Only the poor people of the land were left there. These prisoners had to live in Babylon as exiles, far from their beloved country. There they will have to work, no longer for their own people, but for the enemy. Laboriously and with sorrowful hearts, they walked the long, long journey. At last they arrived in Babylon, completely fatigued. It is true, Nebuchadnezzar did not confine them to a dark, gloomy prison. Most of them lived along the river Chebar. Still, they are prisoners of Nebuchadnezzar. They must stay in this faraway country where everything is so strange and unknown to them. In their memories, they go back to their native country, to the city of Jerusalem, and to the time when they still were free. Do they sing? No, these exiles do not sing. They have hung their harps upon the willows, and they mourn. The Babylonians mock with their sadness. These cruel enemies ask scornfully, Will you sing a song, one of the songs which you always sang when you went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the great feasts, one of the songs of Zion? But they cannot sing. How can they sing while their hearts weep with sadness and misery? And the saddest part is that all this misery is their own fault. It is the punishment of the Lord which has come upon them because they had forsaken God and had worshipped the idols. They deserve this punishment. However, they do not admit it. Oh no, they become angry. They think this punishment too severe. They think of the Jews who still are permitted to remain in their own country. They murmur, "Why were we forced to go to Babylon while so many others of our nation were permitted to remain in their own country?" They do not think it fair. They hope it will at least remain as it is and not get worse. They hope Jerusalem will not be destroyed and hope they soon may return to their native land. One day they receive letters from Jerusalem. What could be their contents? Hastily they rip them open, and while reading them they become excited with joy. Their eyes sparkle with gladness, for they read in these letters, "Fear not. Within 2 years Nebuchadnezzar will be defeated, and you will return to your own country, to Jerusalem." Surely this is a joyful message. Oh, if it only were true. Yes, it must be, for the letters also state the Lord had said so. These letters have been written by prophets who live in Jerusalem. But these poor exiles do not know they are being deceived. They do not know the contents of those letters are false, because the prophets in Jerusalem are not prophets of the Lord, but they are lying prophets. However, the Lord warns them against these lies. The Lord makes known to them that Jerusalem will be destroyed. They will not return so speedily to their native country, but they will have to remain in Babylon for many years, as a punishment for their many and grievous sins. Shortly after these first letters, the exiles in Babylon receive another letter. This letter was written by the prophet Jeremiah. In it, he warns them against the lying prophets, who are not called by the Lord and who misuse the Lord's name. He tells them Nebuchadnezzar will not be defeated, but that he will return and Jerusalem with the temple will be laid waste. But the people do not believe Jeremiah because he is so far away from them. All he can do is write a letter. So God provides them with a prophet from among them, one who was carried away captive with them. He will not write them a letter, but he will tell them personally of God's will. He will preach among them. It may be they will believe him. No doubt you will ask, who is he? He is the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest, a descendant of Aaron. He too was carried away to Babylon as a captive. He was one of the 10,000 Jews who had been brought to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar during the second captivity. The prophet Ezekiel also sits at the river Chebar amidst his fellow countrymen. In that strange, hostile land, the Lord calls him to the office of prophet. Ezekiel did not make himself a prophet. Oh no, he received a divine calling. One day Ezekiel sees something wonderful. You will not be able to understand everything the Lord lets him see, I will tell you of some things. Listen. We read in the Bible, the heavens were opened. He hears a whirlwind. He sees a great cloud. But a blaze shines in this cloud. He sees four creatures in this blaze. Besides, the Lord shows him great wheels underneath the four creatures. He sees hands under the wings of these creatures, the hands of a person. He also sees a beautiful throne and the appearance of a man sitting upon it. This throne is above the cloud, the creatures, and the wheels. Oh, everything sparkles and shines. The heavenly glory shines round about. Ezekiel feels he is in the presence of God. In deep reverence, he falls with his face to the earth. He no longer dares to look. Suddenly, he hears a voice. It is the voice of the Lord. He is speaking to him. And what does the Lord say to him? Ezekiel must begin to preach. He must preach to his groaning people who are in captivity in Babylon. The Lord tells him beforehand they will not hearken to him. They will not believe his words. He will be mocked and ridiculed. Ezekiel, too, will have a troublesome life. But he must not fear. The Lord will help him. The Lord will strengthen him. Ezekiel was obedient to the voice of the Lord, and he went out preaching. He told the captive Jews in Babylon, in the name of the Lord, that Jerusalem will be destroyed. He prophesied that the Jews who were still living in Jerusalem also would be carried captive to Babylon. He said the letters the false prophets had sent them from Jerusalem were full of lies and deceit. The Lord reveals to him what will happen. Yes, the Lord commands him to take a tile. He must draw a city upon this tile. But it must be a city that is surrounded by powerful enemies. Besides, he must draw battering rams, which would beat against the walls of that city. He says to the Jews who are with him and watching him in wonderment, "Do you see this? Jerusalem will be besieged as you see this city on the tile." But unbelievingly, they drew up their shoulders. They do not believe Ezekiel is a servant of the Lord, and that he makes this known to them in the name of the Lord. They will not believe it, but it does come to pass. Only 11 years after they had been led captive, Jerusalem is destroyed. And the remaining Jews also are brought to Babylon as exiles and prisoners. This is the third captivity. Now they realize Ezekiel has spoken the truth, and the other prophets had been lying prophets. Dejectedly, the thousands of Jews dwell in Babylon. They had hoped Jerusalem would not be destroyed. But they have been put to shame. Jerusalem has been laid waste. The city and temple have been burned. Only the ruins are left. They had hoped they would soon return to Jerusalem, but that did not come to pass. On the contrary, the other Jews also were brought to Babylon. They shake their heads sorrowfully. It is altogether a lost issue. But the Lord sends Ezekiel to this discouraged people with another message. This time the Lord shows Ezekiel something else. He sees a great valley. This valley is a bare, withered, and dry sand plain which is full of dead bones, the skeletons of people. Ezekiel must now go and preach to these dry bones. But isn't that foolishness? These bones cannot hear, can they? This preaching of Ezekiel will be unnecessary labor. Yes, seemingly it is. But then, a great wonder takes place. When Ezekiel begins to preach, all these dead bones become alive. They rise from the dust. Go, tell this vision to the Jewish people, commands the Lord. Speak encouragingly to these dejected people. The prophet Ezekiel does as he is commanded. What does this vision mean? What has the Lord to say to them? It is as if the Lord would say to the Jewish people in Babylon, "You think it is altogether a hopeless case, don't you? You are mistaken. It is not hopeless. I am still with you. I will perform miracles. I will bring you again into your own land. You think that every one of you will die in Babylon, but that is not so. I will release the captivity in my own time, and you will go out free. No, you cannot free yourselves, but I will do it for you. I am Almighty. My people, believe these words and take courage." This is a glad tiding for these poor Jewish prisoners. But they do not believe it. They say, "No, it is too late." Do you hear they doubt the omniscience of God? When the Jews in Babylon reject this preaching, the Lord instructs Ezekiel to preach more plainly to convince the people of his power. The Lord shows his servant another vision. What is it? Hearken. Ezekiel sees a magnificent city. A splendid temple stands in the center of this city. A river flows through the land around this city. All along the banks of this river, beautiful trees grow upon which are delicious fruits. Oh, it is a pleasure to see it. Ezekiel must tell the people about this new vision. Why? The Lord would say, "My people, do not be dejected. It is true, Jerusalem has been burned. But do not fear, Jerusalem again will be rebuilt. It is true, the temple is now a heap of ruins. But the temple too will rise out of the ruins. It is true, your fields lie bare and deserted. They are full of weeds. But your fields again will be cultivated. Wheat will be planted in them. The vine again will flourish. Much fruit will hang on the many fruit trees, and you will gather the harvest with joy. Rejoice then, O people of Israel, in the glorious prospect. Behold, in this manner, boys and girls, Ezekiel preached in Babylon. First he admonished his fellow countrymen, and afterward he spoke comfortingly and encouragingly to them. All that Ezekiel preached came to pass. The Jews again returned to their own country. Jerusalem and the temple again were rebuilt. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remembered his covenant and delivered them out of Babylon. The Lord kept his word. The Lord was and remains faithful. What he has said takes place. What he promises, he always gives. Ezekiel preached a great deal more, but it is still too difficult for you to understand. I have told you some things. Try to remember them. We do not know what happened to Ezekiel in his latter days. Some say he was murdered, but I cannot tell you definitely. One thing I am certain of, Ezekiel is now rejoicing before the throne of God. Now he no longer has any sorrow or trouble. Now he lives in eternal blessedness, and afterward his body also will arise. Then he will magnify God with both soul and body. These visions of Ezekiel also have a meaning for us, children. We cannot convert ourselves, for we lie dead in sin. The bones in the vision could not make themselves alive, but God made them alive by the preaching of Ezekiel. We cannot make ourselves alive, but God can do it by the preaching of his servants. Therefore, never willfully neglect the services of the Lord, but ask the Lord by his word and spirit to quicken you from your death sleep.